say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on the go right here from AT&T Stadium in Dallas-Fort Worth as we get ready for the big pay-per-view fight tomorrow night between Errol Spence Jr. and Mikey Garcia. Should be a good one. Lots of good feedback coming back on the interview we just had with Richard. Lots of people saying he's good for boxing. He's good for the sport. He's very much a salesman, which, of course, as a promoter, you must be, and things as we go from there. Other thing, Steelers fan Juan, we'll need to talk about this because I definitely think the Browns are going to win the division, and I know you hate hearing that, so if you do want to do something, you can text me. We'll work something out, but I don't see your Steelers as being what they used to be. I see the Browns on the uptick, so we'll talk. We got that one out of the way. Nick, can't find the video of the mob hit on the Daily Beast. Are you sure? That's something we can check on.
I might not be. I just saw it on the Daily Beast and said this is where you can go to click the video. I didn't want to click it and watch it during the show. So maybe it's not, but according to it was either Channel 13's site or whatever, they had the link to the website in the article.
Okay.
I clicked on the link, but I didn't watch the whole video. So the story says it's the first ever recorded video of a murder of a mob boss. So, I mean, unless that website is completely wrong, and I mentioned the website, I just don't remember what it is now, but I did credit the website.
Yeah, you did, and I think you said Daily, so we'll figure it out. Anyone overpaying for Sam Bradford this year? I mean, I think that ship has sailed. I think there's too many teams that have taken too many chances with Sam Bradford, and he's made too much money, let's be honest, because he was one of the last quarterbacks that got the big number one overall pick money before they started to try and reel that back in. I think that every place he's gone, there's no doubt he has the ability. But the bottom line is, he just can't stay healthy. Nick, that's been your theme all along with everything in free agency. Well, none more more important and more focused on than the quarterback position. If you can't stay healthy, then you're just not going to get a continue.
I'm big on that whole injury-prone thing, and sometimes I use it too much. But the thing is, if I'm paying you millions of dollars, even if it's not guaranteed, I just want someone durable who can play,
Sure.
And Sam Bradford, look, he might get overpaid because you know what? He's a veteran. He's got experience. He can go in and probably learn the playbook just as fast, if not faster, than a lot of quarterbacks in this game. So, yeah, I can see someone potentially overpaying him, but, I mean, I don't know if I want him on the team. I just think there's a comfortability factor with Sam Bradford because you know he's experienced. He's been in the game for a while. He's not a dumb quarterback. He's just not.
Can't stay healthy.
Yeah, so.
Wisdom teeth follow-up, Nicholas. It's not too bad. She will be okay tomorrow. Able to talk by then or later tonight. No straws or quote-unquote sucking for a couple of weeks, though. So that's no bueno for him, if you know what I mean.
Now I get it. Now he's struggling for sure.
Did we mention yesterday was Steak and BJ Day? Okay, we're just a day late, a dollar short, but sounds like that might be the case there as well until she recovers, but hopefully for a speedy recovery for your wife and enjoy your weekend as you continue.
And it
to
looks like
on.
We're going to have a couple of special guests. Kate Abdo is going to be joining us. She's with Turner Sports and Fox Sports. We'll also potentially have Sean Porter. He'll be joining us on Radio Row here live at AT&T Stadium for the Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia fight Saturday, March 16. Be sure to buy the pay-per-view and get your tickets at SeatGeek.com. I'm looking forward to Sean Porter. He's actually a really good dude to talk to. He's a very, very, very social guy. And I had the opportunity to kind of hang out with him. Now I'm name-dropping like you and
Not Barry. Me, buddy.
But I got an opportunity to hang out with him in Vegas when we were at Legacy's, and that was just – he's a humble dude. For a guy that has had his success, he's a super humble guy. So I'm very much looking forward to that, for sure. I need to hit up that text line, though. It's been a minute.
I just cleared it all out. So I think I covered all of them. Kate's a good follow, by the way. Another one, when we bring you the best, you'll probably want to follow her as well. We'll tell her that we'll boost her following by 100,000 in just one segment.
Probably going to have a nice...
If you start Bogarting pictures again...
I'm not. Okay. I'm going to be very appropriate. It's going to be... You're the one that's going to...
I did work for you yesterday. Did you or did you not receive further communications from people?
Just from Heidi. She's a friend of the show now.
Okay, but who did that for you?
I mean...
All right, then.
I'll give you 50% of the credit.
Did we talk nothing but boxing with her?
We talked a little boxing.
But did we talk nothing but boxing?
No.
No. And because of it, did she loosen up, lighten up, and have a whole lot of fun?
She did have a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. We can move on now.
She told us that she loves us and she'll join our show anytime we wanted to.
Yes. So there you go. So if the requests are made, eventually we'll have Heidi join us, and maybe she'll follow her own social media a little closer. The broadcasters that are going to be doing things with the fight this weekend. Kate Abdo will join us hopefully in this last hour of the show before we turn it over to the Blitz. I mentioned, too, by the way, Zion Williamson played a hell of a game last night. 13 of 13 from the floor. The man was everywhere, didn't miss a shot, was dominant. I told you before the game I thought he should be on a minutes restriction. He played the most minutes he had played all year, and he was a absolute man amongst boys.
We were watching the game, or we were at the bar when I saw on Twitter that, did you see the video of the Syracuse player? He had this, I guess he stuck his foot out.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure did. You mentioned it to me while we were out. I caught the video when I got back to the room. There is no question in my mind he tried to trip him. The fact that his foot came up, the fact that it wasn't just, you know, a natural foot motion. You know, you can say all you want in a press conference. You can go back and look at some of the dirty plays that have been made in sports recently. But the only thing that saved his ass in this entire situation is that Zion didn't go down. Zion didn't really have too much of a problem with it. And there wasn't contact where he could have sprained an ankle or done worse. If Zion goes down and he sprains an ankle or worse or hits the floor, this is a bigger deal. And I don't care if you hear from everybody, he's a good kid. You know what? Good kids make dumb decisions. That was a dumb decision, and you can try and spin it, Jim Boeheim and others, but the bottom line is that was a dirty play, and there's no place for it in any kind of sports, let alone college basketball, let alone with a player with the impact level of Zion Williamson.
And what I felt like happened was he, like, made the decision to pull his leg back, like he realized that, oh, I shouldn't be doing that, kind of like. But I think it had everything to do with the fact that he's such a dominant player, and when you know you have a dominant player that's going to come, and you know he's going to make the basket time and time and time again, it wears on you unless you're super mentally tough, especially at the college level. And so I think what happens is frustration starts, and then the dirtiness starts. You know what I mean? It's like a boxer that gets tired. Some boxers, not all, when they get tired or when they're losing the fight, boom, you start seeing low blows. Not a good thing, but it happens. Desperation kicks in. I don't know why he would do that, but he's not the first player.
Well, but here's the thing, too, and I understand the competitive juices are flowing, and if a guy's kicking your ass, you're going to be more apt to try and do anything you can to help your team. And sometimes when your frustration level set in, you do some things that you may or may not regret later on. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at what was going on, when you look at the situation, when you look at how important it is that a guy of this magnitude is returning to the Duke lineup, and they need him if they're going to compete for a national title, as well as everybody in the fan base wants to see this kid, to see what, you know, what's left of his college career before he moves on to, and ultimately will be the number one pick in the NBA draft. And it's just, it to me, there's no place in sports for it, let alone especially in college basketball, when you're working more on, you're not getting paid, so you're working more on ethics and playing the game the right way. Those are the kind of things you need to be more focused on.
Absolutely. And it wasn't as egregious as, like, Grayson Allen when he was always doing
that.
That's
who I was going to go to next, yeah.
But it's certainly dirty nonetheless. All right, coming up next, I believe we're going to have Jimmy Lennon Jr. joining us. So we will hold on Kate Abdo and Sean Porter for now. So coming up next,
it's a tough hold.
The Usual Suspects.
Baby, This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects during the final hour of the big show. It is Nick and Joel from Dallas and AT&T Stadium ahead of the big pay-per-view boxing matchup Saturday night right here at Jerry World, AT&T Stadium. It is Errol Spence Jr. It is Mikey Garcia. It's 24-0 versus 39-0. It's two of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world. It should be a great matchup, should it not, Mr. Sciarra?
Absolutely should. I've been watching Spence for a while, so I'm really looking forward to him. And we were talking to Jimmy Lennon Jr. in the break, who joins us right now, Hall of Fame boxing announcer, and he was telling me about the turnout in the weigh-in and how surprisingly there were some boos for Errol Spence Jr. at the weigh-in. Is that true, sir?
Yeah, no question that Mikey Garcia won the crowd appeal on this one. There are more fans for him, clearly. And even when I introduced Spence, there were some boos out there, which really surprised me. But clearly, Mikey Garcia fans were voicing their opinion in that. But no question, Mikey won the battle of the fans today.
So we're going to get into the fight a little bit later, but I want to talk more about you because you've been obviously you've had an illustrious career. You followed in your dad's footsteps. Obviously, I would imagine you learned a lot from your dad in your career, but is there anything that you said, you know what, this is a different era, I'm gonna change this a little bit, I'm gonna modify the way I approach announcing and not necessarily approach it the same way as my father?
Well, it's a good question, and it's the first time anyone has ever posed a question like that to me. It's very interesting. You know, I went into boxing having heard only one announcer, and that's my father. I went to the fights, grew up with the fights, watched him on TV, and so I didn't try to mimic him, but you know, I sounded like him, and that came naturally.
Right.
I think the only thing that I say I would have changed is he did not have a tagline, and my tagline is "It's Showtime," and so that would be one thing that evolved through my career. Otherwise, he was definitely my role model.
We're speaking with Jimmy Lennon Jr. here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. The coolest thing about your career, because I'm a big MMA fan, is that you actually called Strikeforce fights. So would you ever consider doing MMA again, or are you kind of past that?
Oh, I would always consider doing MMA. I love the sport, and Strikeforce days were just great days for me. You know, I used to do the fights, WEC fights, before UFC bought them out. Those were amazing fights.
Missed that promotion so much.
And Strikeforce as well. And you look at the success of what has happened from the Strikeforce fighters going to the UFC, and then even what's happening in Bellator. No, I love the sport. I appreciate it so much. I love the people that are part of it. I think it's just a great sport, and not really a competitor to boxing, but I think it's a great combat sport.
I don't think so either. I was talking to Richard about that, and that was kind of what I was talking to you about in the break, and I just feel like people are giving MMA and the UFC too much credit for quote-unquote hurting boxing or making boxing a sport that's taken a step back. I posed the question to Richard Schaefer because I've always heard that. He started the Golden Boy Promotions in 2000 with Oscar De La Hoya. He left in 2014. I would imagine that's an amazing 14-year period for Golden Boy Promotions. And if Golden Boy Promotions was that successful, then obviously boxing was successful, right?
Yeah, no question. And I agree with Richard, and I agree with you saying that they're not necessarily competitors. And a lot of people in the sports agree with that as well. But I'll go even further and say that this is an even more interesting time. I think it's even a more golden time for boxing when the TV stations especially are putting up such huge numbers and a lot of money to support boxing and a lot of long-term contracts. We have some great fighters who are fighting each other, like upcoming tomorrow night, two undefeated fighters, pound-for-pound greats, risking their records for this fight, and that's what the sport needs, and we're getting it.
Well, going back to the time from your father's era till now, we've been talking to a lot of people about that, about getting boxing back on that top shelf platform. We know about baseball, basketball, and football. We know hockey kind of fell by the wayside, and they haven't been able to resurrect it. But this deal with Showtime, the ability to have an event in a football stadium that seats 100,000 people and know you're not only selling and putting butts in the seats, you're putting eyeballs on the product, and with a platform like Fox, between social media, the other channels that they have, and then the pay-per-view option, people will get reacquainted. Now what they need is the fighters that will have that natural attraction to the fan base. And we've said, what the fighters have to understand is, as much as you do in the ring, it still comes down to as much as you do out of the ring as well. The promotion you do when you're doing the press conferences, the fact that you don't love each other when you're fighting one another, show a little bit of that conflict as you get into what we had yesterday, the other day in the press conference, and the fact that that's going to get people that passion like the fighters so that the sport is built back up.
Yeah, and that comes and goes with the personalities of the fighters, as you know. But, yeah, they got to try harder. They got to put themselves out there. I'm not sure if we will ever have like what we had in, say, the 19 when television emerged in the mid-late 1940s, 1950s, where the heavyweight champion was the most famous, highest-paid, you know, athlete in the world, because there's a lot more competition now. But it's a very good time for the sport of boxing. And I'm a little fatigued at people saying, hey, what's happening? Is boxing going to survive and be okay? It's really doing well right now.
And you need a bout like this. You need it to not just be about the heavyweights, because you went through that era with, you know, just the heavyweights as being the main attraction, whether it be Tyson and Foreman and all those guys. But when you look at the just the history of boxing, and you can go back when you had Hagler and Hearns and Duran, and then you had some, and Ray Boom Boom Mancini, and that was a big deal. And you could go across the platform of boxing and say, there was a guy that I wanted to follow. There was a guy that I was a fan of. That's what boxing really needs to bring it back to like a different level, to take it back to that that top shelf.
Yes, I agree. Boy, you know your sport, and we're continuing to grow, and we're looking for those personalities who will do that. And so I'm very hopeful, but I'm in general an optimistic person.
Sure. We're speaking with Jimmy Lennon Jr. here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Spence Jr. versus Garcia, live from AT&T Stadium. I want to get your thoughts on the trash-talking dynamic in this sport, because to a certain extent, I love the trash talking. It's a part of, and I'm sure you've been through multiple trash talking sessions, but I like the trash talking. I'm starting to feel like it's going a little too far. Okay? Conor McGregor throwing that chair to a bus, hurting fighters, it could not have aggravated me more. And I love trash talking. Like, I don't think there's a limit almost. I mean, because you're fighting in a ring, but where are you? Do you think it's okay? Do you think it's good, like going too far? Like, where are you on trash talking?
Oh, I think I kind of agree with you. Maybe tone down a little bit. You know, I love about combat sports, and I'm going to include MMA with this.
Okay.
The general respect that fighters have for one another, for someone who's willing to go one-on-one with them. And I love that aspect. And a lot of people who aren't fans will say, oh, it's such a brutal sport. And I really think they don't understand it because, you know, what it takes to stand against someone else in the middle of the ring or the middle of the cage and deal with it, I respect that so much. Certainly a little trash talking is fun, and it lights it up a little bit, makes it a little more interesting. But it definitely can go too far, and I think your Conor McGregor example is a good one. Even when he was fighting Floyd Mayweather, I think it just went over the top. It was too personal, just too much, and it made me feel uncomfortable. That's really not what the sport's about. But, yeah, we need to have some entertainment in the build-up to the fights.
Yeah, it's just the reason why I ask, because I feel like the promotions obviously want that. Sometimes I feel like fighters are forced to trash talk when they really don't want to trash talk. Like, it seems forced and fake.
And you can kind of tell, though, when a fighter is forcing it.
Yeah,
and you
absolutely
can tell when it's natural. And when it's forced, there's not much worse than that. That seems artificial.
All right, there you have it. Jimmy Lennon Jr. joining us here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Jimmy, I've been a big fan. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, and my pleasure to speak with real boxing fans and fight fans, and looking forward to tomorrow.
Keep doing what you do. You've got a lot of people that love it, and the fact that the sport's on the rise, and you get an event like this, enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. You're very kind.
There you go. We're going to continue to roll on. We got about a half hour to go in the big show. It is The Usual Suspects. It is ESPN 97.5. We're going to be back in just 60 seconds, so don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Continuing to roll through the three-hour show, it is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 coming to you live from AT&T Stadium, where it tomorrow night it's going to be Errol Spence Jr. It's going to be Mikey Garcia, 24-0 against 39-0. And again, a fight that, Nick, we were talking about as we first got settled in here in Big D, in the fact that it was pretty heavily weighted in terms of Errol Spence Jr., but as the week has progressed, as the stuff you were talking about, the press conferences, a little bit of the animosities coming out, a little bit of the fact that you see reactions from guys you're not normally accustomed to seeing reaction from in terms of Errol Spence, and from a following, Mikey Garcia's traveled well, got a lot of fans in the building.
Yep.
This could be a really interesting fight because the gap has narrowed in terms of what Vegas thinks, and that's important.
And one of the questions I forgot to ask Richard Schaefer, the promoter for Ringstar, was how many pay-per-view buys? Because I did see a website saying he thinks it could be a million pay-per-view buys. That would be incredible. If they get a million pay-per-view buys on this fight in Dallas, that would be incredible. That would be great for the sport, great for whoever wins, great for everybody.
And looking at over 35,000 to 40,000 people in the seats
right now. But how about the fact that Jimmy Lennon Jr. reported to us, because we couldn't be at the weigh-ins. We're live, obviously,
sure,
right now.
Right.
And it happened at 2 in the middle of our show. And he said Spence Jr. was getting booze. That's incredible to me because
this is his backyard.
This is crazy. That's crazy. So the buzz is definitely here. I feel it in the atmosphere. I feel it at AT&T Stadium. I think it's a pay-per-view buy that I would totally spend the $60 on. I have no problem doing it. That's fantastic. Thank you, Tracy. But, yeah, so Sean Porter looks like he's going to be joining us shortly.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, the fact that he got booze, that's crazy to me.
You know what? Overall, though, it's just a great environment. When you look at it and you can take – we were talking about how do you build boxing back up? How do you get that interest level back up? Well, you're not – you know, because you look at Errol Spence Jr. His last fight was in Frisco, Texas at the Cowboys practice facility. Now, it's a nice facility. It seats probably, 10,000 people maybe. But you know what? It's not Jerry World. The fact that you are – doing it, and you're not only doing it with pay-per-views, because we were thinking about, well, how much are they going to have to curtain off of the entire stadium? Are they going to have to do it like the Alamo Dome and make it smaller and smaller? No. In fact, they're having to look at possibly making it bigger and bigger and opening up more areas of seats because of the fact that this fight is drawing eyeballs. It has a lot of attention. It's going to be a big-time event that people are going to want to see. We're seeing it with the numbers. We're seeing it with the ticket sales. That's something that's not only good for this fight, it's great for boxing.
Buy the pay-per-view. If you can't buy the pay-per-view and you want to be in person, go to SeatGeek.com and buy the tickets as well. Sean Porter looks like he's definitely joining us. I don't see him, but she said she's bringing him next. But the reason why I want him on is because there's been some trash talk between Errol Spence Jr. and Sean Porter. So I definitely want to – I'm pretty sure he's been asked about it on every radio platform here. But we're definitely going to ask him about that because – Spence Jr. makes a claim that if he wasn't fighting Mikey Garcia, or if Sean Porter wanted to fight, he wouldn't be fighting Mikey Garcia right now. So Mikey Garcia does the call out and he gets the fight. So definitely going to get his thoughts on that for sure.
Well, it's funny too, because Errol Spence Jr. is a guy that everybody said is so mellow, so quiet, so calm and demeanor when he's not in the ring. And we talk about what it takes to make this sport and make these fighters get more attention, make it a bigger deal. Well, we talk about the fact that you got to kind of sell it too. Well, he suddenly says he's not selling it. That's not his thing. He's going to decide it in the ring. But what have we seen this week? He's getting under Mikey Garcia's gotten under his skin. He's reacting during the weigh-ins, during the press conferences. He doesn't like the booze. Well, guess what? That maybe makes a little bit more fire burn inside and brings out a different side of Errol Spence Jr. that maybe he's been missing in terms of getting to that next level. So it's just great for the sport.
Yeah, one full 100%. One full 100%. It's starting to get loud in here. There's a lot more people in here.
There's a definite buzz, and you can tell we are at the club level. If you were at NRG Stadium, you can understand. We're in the club level, similar to NRG, with a glass wall behind us that leads right into the venue and the bowl of the seats. But they are doing the sound checks. They are doing everything after they just got done with the weigh-in. So you can feel a buzz in the air, not only in here on the radio row, but also within the building. You know the fight is upon us. Tomorrow night's a big deal, and that's going to make it very, very interesting as we continue to roll through.
No doubt. We're getting a bunch of responses for the Jimmy Lennon Jr. interview. He was great.
We're getting texts and tweets
saying that they really enjoyed that interview. I really wanted to know how he approached it. And to be honest, what makes it even better is the fact that he, I mean, not to call him old, but the fact that he transition to MMA that late in his career and was still able to do well. That's amazing to me. It looks like we got Kate Abdul here. How you doing? Yep. Did I say your name right? Is it Abdul?
Yes. I'm one of the only people to say it right.
Abdul, I'm the only person, right?
Yeah, everybody.
You might have to flip it over like this. Because the mic is on the wrong side. Gotcha. Sorry. Yeah.
There you go.
Kate Abdul, how you doing?
Nice to meet you. I'm Joel.
How you doing? Nice to meet
Nick.
Joel. Hey, good to see you.
ESPN 97.5. How long have you been doing this?
This being what? Boxing?
Boxing.
Yes.
I've been in America for a couple of years now. Obviously, we haven't had a huge amount of boxing on Fox, but we did have that time buy scenario with PBC, and I did some with that. And before that, I was in the UK, and I was hosting the boxing, the pay-per-view stuff for Sky Sports.
So you're officially here in the United States. When did you make your transition over here?
Officially, 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, I've seen you on soccer coverage, so I know you from soccer.
Yeah.
I know the fact that the whole world got to know you better and better through soccer as well. But as you see, and we've been talking about this, we know how big this fight is because of the fact that the pay-per-views are going up, because of the butts in the seats and everything like that. But soccer, boxing, sports that used to be on top of the world, and then especially as you can relate to, and from a worldwide perspective, still on top of the world in terms of soccer, but in the United States, needing a little bit extra boost or a comeback. But these are the kind of things that are building those sports to compete with baseball, basketball, and football. The fact that you're seeing more and more interest in soccer. The fact that a fight like this, when everybody was just all heavyweight, heavyweight, heavyweight for a while, and you want to get back to the days of the big-time fighters in every weight class, a fight like this can really help to elevate the sport back again to that platform of top shelf.
Absolutely. I feel like we're in a really interesting place in America right now, because it does feel like it shifted massively since I first arrived just a couple of years ago, because I came and was obsessed with boxing and found the scenario in America slightly confusing, that I didn't really feel like there was necessarily a home of boxing. You had Showtime, you had HBO, but you had the PBC that was kind of dotted around on different networks. I didn't necessarily know where to go to get my boxing. And I remember talking, you know, doing soccer shows for Fox and talking to the guys about, did you see this fight? Did you see that fight? And the Americans would always say to me, what are you talking about? Boxing's dead.
Yeah.
It's all about MMA. And I was like, absolutely not.
So not true.
Right?
We were just having that discussion with both Jimmy Lennon Jr. and Richard Schaefer, Schaefer of Ringstar. And I get so sick of, I love MMA and I love the UFC, but I feel like they're getting too much credit for hurting this sport.
Right.
And I don't even necessarily believe the sport is down. I was talking about how an MMA fighter probably couldn't deal with the science of a boxer in his hands. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a different dynamic. I asked this to Jimmy Lennon Jr. about trash talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pose this question to you. Where are you on trash talking? Because I feel like it's going a little too far.
Do you? Well, so, for example, around this fight, I feel like we've barely seen any. I know that there was a little more tension, obviously, at the press conference between Errol and Mikey, but it was kind of the first time I've really seen it between the two of them. I thought they'd been really respectful. I don't hate it. Listen, it sells, right?
Right.
That's definitely the truth, that if you get great trash talk and that kind of gets put out there on social media and all that stuff, then the interest in a fight, particularly between a non-boxing audience, is always gonna rise. I think there should be a limit. I've definitely been in places where I felt like it's crossed that. We had something really recently where I felt like that happened. I'm trying to remember what it was, but
Conor McGregor. The example I used for Jimmy Lennon Jr. about going too far was the Conor McGregor bus incident. You know what I mean? Or the trash talking in the press conference with the water bottles. You know, and I love trash talking, and I think it's necessary. But now it's getting to the point where it's just ridiculous.
The point I was making when we talk about elevating the sport back to where it once was when you had Hagler and Hearns and Sugar Ray, and you know, you can go back to Ali, or you can continue to go up all the hype around Mike Tyson. You can talk a healthy amount of trash as long as there's not violence involved with a hand truck or a water bottle. But that's the other side of boxing that builds up the common viewer that might not be paying attention as much as they should, but all of a sudden they see this on the news, Sports Center, social media, and go, oh, those two guys, I want to see that fight, because there's some real animosity there, and it builds up the sport. So I think there's a fine line drawn between too much versus, you get some of these guys like Errol Spence Jr. before this fight, and everybody knows he's all about in the ring. Just, I'm going to do it in the ring. I'm calm. I'm cool. I'm not going to talk a whole lot. You've seen a different side of him because of the fact that Mikey Garcia's camp has kind of tried to get under his skin, and it's worked a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and I think especially with that non-boxing audience, as you say, that's what they're drawn in by. I think boxing fans look at this matchup on paper, and we're fascinated by it already, right? You don't necessarily need the trash talk or any of the hype around it. You just think this is going to be a spectacular event. in the ring, and that's certainly enough for me. But I understand why a network kind of hopes and thrives for that interchange.
Yeah, and if that fighter has that buzz, like sometimes you can get away with a little bit more, and I understand that dynamic. But I just I wanted to pose that question to you because I've been asking a lot of people. I just feel like, because even fighters are starting to say that, and that's the reason why I wanted to pose that question. Mm-hmm. But we're speaking to Kate Abdul.
Abdul?
I said it right the first time.
You said it right the first time. Yeah.
Dang it.
Ruined it.
Way to go, Nick.
I was so scared. I kept looking at it, and I was like, I'm going to say it wrong at least once on the air. But where are you in terms of Mikey Garcia and the fact that he actually has a lot of support? Because Jimmy Lennon Jr. actually said there were some boos at the weigh-in for Spence Jr.
Oh, it was loud.
Really?
The boos were loud. That was insane to me. We've been talking, on Fox throughout this build-up about the hometown advantage for Errol Spence Jr. And when they wrapped that part of the weigh-in and those two had weighed in, I turned to Sean on air and I said, where's the hometown advantage that we keep talking about? Because you just didn't feel it there. And okay, I think there was 2,500 people there, which, by the way, is an incredible turnout for a weigh-in. But I'm wondering how that's going to translate on fight night. Come tomorrow night, is it going to be 50-50? Because, what are we getting, 35,000 people
35
here?
Plus, yeah.
So is that going to be a strong Mikey crowd, or is it going to be the same type of Mikey crowd and all the rest is going to be locals that fill in and are there for Errol Spence
Jr.? His fans are definitely going to be tested come fight night, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Tell everybody where they can find you, because obviously you're a good follower. You know multiple sports, and you participate in social media. We've had some guests around here that want the love on social media but only check their own account about once a month. So tell everybody. You're active on social media.
I'm active-ish. I mean, probably daily.
Okay.
Probably
that's
daily,
good.
But
that's
it's
good
not
enough.
Like I'm not multiple of times a day.
Right.
At Kate Abdo is where I'm at on Instagram, at Kate_Abdo on Twitter. I'm much better on Instagram than I am on Twitter.
There you go. There's all the tips that you possibly could use as you follow Kate. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Thank
Thanks
you so much.
Thank you.
We got one segment to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. We will wrap it up and turn it over to the Blitz next. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, final segment of the show. By the way, you people that I know how you are, you might want to follow Kate Abdu, as
no,
Nick would call
Abdo.
Her. I know what it is.
Abdo,
you screwed
get
it up.
It right.
You
I
took
never,
so much credit for no yourself, then you screwed it back up. At Kate_ABDO.
She said I was the only one that said it right.
The first time. And then you screwed it up.
She gave
Jerry
me credit.
Jerry Bo loved the interview. Jermaine has loved what we're doing here. Josh Rapp has been critical, as always. So it's basically another day on The Usual Suspects. It's an FAF Friday as we continue to wrap things up. We're going to take you till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. So there's going to be lots of fun and games. Jocularity will ensue.
Something happened to Jerry Bo's Twitter. He followed me again. He has
he
way less
Z
followers.
Out.
Oh, that's what he did.
He took the Z out.
Well, does everybody know that he's got a new Twitter handle?
Is that your job, his job, or our job?
Jerry Bo knows, but without the Z this time. It has the S. Because he always gives
out.
Was
that peer pressure, you think?
No. Maybe. Because I remember Laminack talking about how he doesn't like the Z being used as an S in words. So maybe he heard it. I don't know. Regardless.
He's had several.
It's a fake account?
He has had several. No, that one isn't. He's had several imposters along the way that he's had to deal with, so.
Yeah.
That is definitely a possibility. Hey, I do want to remind you guys that tomorrow, I'm going to be heading back tonight with Fred. Tomorrow, I'll be at the Golf Galaxy in Spring from noon to 2 p.m. It's right off of I-45 in Spring. It's a new year. Come out and check out the new gear in golf for 2019. Everything you need for your game, from golf balls and tees to the clubs and the clothes that you want and have to have as you tee it up and get ready for a long season of golf. I-45 in Spring, I'll be there Saturday noon to 2. Stop by, say hi. And at the same time, our promotions team's going to be there. We're going to have giveaways. It's all at Golf Galaxy, I-45, and the Feeder Road at Spring, all compliments of ESPN 97.5.
And we have another great list of guests that you can listen to on podcastarena.com. We had Jimmy Lennon Jr. He was really good. Talked about the fight. Kate Abdo just joined us as well. All those will be on Podcast Arena, so definitely check it out. Go to ESPN975.com to consume more of our content as well. Also, go to SeatGeek.com to purchase all tickets. Or buy the pay-per-view if you're not in Dallas.
We've been telling you that the pay-per-view numbers are way up. They're expecting over 35,000 as of right now in the building for the fight tomorrow night. But you can tell, even with the Vegas odds and where they started to where they are now, this is going to be closer and closer as they get closer to fight time. It is a big-time fight. Boxing loves this kind of thing. And the fact that you're not only putting eyeballs on it with pay-per-view, but you're getting butts in the seats, that's huge.
The first thing I'm going to look for, at least in the main fight, is how the crowd reacts to Spence. Because that is not a good indicator at the weigh-ins today with people booing him and the Hispanic crowd overpowering Spence Jr., and this is his backyard. So that's the first thing I'm going to look for. I'm going to look at the atmosphere regardless because I've never seen a fight here, but it's going to be really, really cool to see my first fight at AT&T Stadium, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. One thing I felt like we probably should have talked about more. One guest that we should have talked to was Sean Porter, but unfortunately we're not going to have him. I did tease him a little bit earlier in the hour, but it looks like he will not make our show,
which is unfortunate because I really wanted to talk to him and AJ was going to talk to him.
Well, AJ was trying to get him for 4:15 and it looks like he's not going to be here. He's going to be gone. So
yeah,
well, it's unfortunate, but I love look, see, that trash talk is I'm okay with. You know,
and I get
he's
that.
Basically saying you're scared and you don't want to fight me. That's trash talking. Like, I don't understand why it has to go so far. Like, I know.
But again, words are one thing. And again, you mentioned McGregor and Mayweather. And it got to be a little too personal with words. It got to be where Conor not only got under his skin, but he went below the belt.
Yeah.
So there's still guidelines that they need to follow because you're right. It doesn't. Water bottles are one thing. But when you start talking about hand trucks in the windows of buses and it's hurting not just the two fighters involved but others, it's not good for anybody.
And honestly, I'm not blaming anybody because as much as I complain about it, there's not really anything you can do to regulate it. How are you going to say, oh, for trash talking, you can say this, but you can't say that. You can talk about his mom, but you can't do that. Like, you can't really regulate trash talking. So I guess it's just going to continue to get out of whack. It's not going to get any better. But people live for it.
As the sport, if the sport is going to continue to blow up again and more promoters are involved, that's up to the promoter and his team as well to go, hey, don't go too far because at a certain point, certain things said are going to offend certain areas of the demographic you're trying to reach and turn them off instead of getting them to turn it on, whether they go or whether they turn it on pay-per-view, because those things can be, we know how social media stirs things up.
Oh, yeah.
Some people all of a sudden find it offensive, then it starts spreading like wildfire on social media, and then people start going, I'm not going to watch that fight. I'm not going to pay-per-view that fight.
Twitter is the devil. I'm never on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
Never on Twitter.
The pictures that you try and put out there on a daily basis to incriminate your own team on your own station are absolutely ridiculous.
Here's the deal. Like, he said he would have been cool with me tweeting it out, but I'm still not going to do it, even though Tracy Cowley really wants me to tweet it out.
You got that picture of AJ sleeping?
I do not.
Well, why not?
I wouldn't do it. I just chilled here. I wouldn't do it.
Weak-ass scared bitch. That's what I'm talking about, man. Just a little trash, you know. If you want the trash talking, I'm bringing it to you. There, you should have done it.
Trash talking everybody. You were trash talking the head. You were trash talking Errol Spence Jr.
I went at him a little bit.
He could have
mixed it up with
him.
He could have, but he didn't. You know why?
He could have decked you.
Because it was quality trash talk, Nick. I stayed with
you.
See what I did?
You did.
See what I did there?
You did a good job.
I stayed within my lane, but I stirred it up just enough.
You talked trash, but you didn't go too far.
That's right.
You're a professional trash talker.
That's what I try and do.
You or Barry Laminack? Who's a better trash talker?
Oh, of course, Barry. Because he's a comedian. He deals with it on a nightly basis because he gets so many hecklers and people that all of a sudden want to be part of the show. We don't have to do that here. We tune out the noise we don't need, whether we don't look at social media, we don't take a certain call, we don't do those kind of things. But when Barry's live on stage, there is no safety net.
Don't sell yourself short. You're an a-hole, too. Come on now.
Absolutely. And I pride myself on it on a daily basis because Fred will call me that in public in the hotel.
What did he call you? A dickweed, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he didn't go all the way to a-hole. That's right.
I got called an a-hole.
You were the a-hole several times.
You're the dickweed. I'm the a-hole.
Yes. Yeah. So there you go. So for the last 2 days, it's been a pleasure being the dickweed and the a-hole that has delivered all the interviews and the things that you needed from right here in AT&T Stadium. Okay, we've talked about it. We've asked other people about it. You're fired up about it. What do you see happening on Saturday night?
I made my official pick. I'm still not going to change it despite what happened in the weigh-ins and the fact that there's a little bit more buzz for Mikey Garcia. I'm still picking Spence Jr. The point that Richard Schaefer made about the size, I think that's a big factor. Only certain people can really deal with size, like someone being two weight classes bigger.
Sure.
Floyd Mayweather, the example he used, was a fantastic example. And he said skills pay the bills. I'm not sure if Mikey Garcia has the skills to deal with someone two weight classes bigger than him. That's just my pick.
I'm with you as well. I mean, look, you talk about people, and we talk about five-tool athletes in different sports and baseball, and you know, that you have the entire, the total package. And I really believe that Errol Spence Jr. is the guy that has the total package. I think he's a guy that's climbing the ranks for a reason. There's a guy that you, we talk to promoters, announcers, people in the sport, and they've all said the same thing. If there's a guy that has that it factor that can take it to the next level in the ring, it's Errol Spence Jr. I like the fact that between him getting irritated with Garcia fans all over in his hometown, in his, his adopted hometown, his backyard. I like the fact that the comments between Mikey and his brother have gotten under his skin. Mm-hmm. Maybe that brings out what he's been missing in terms of that element we've been talking about all week, that ability to get more people engaged, because there is an animosity. There is some trash talk. There is a little bit more emotion. He's showing more. He was so even-keeled on the air with us.
Right, and that's how he usually is. He's
you
never
want to
really
see
like...
something that gets the blood boiling a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been his nature. I feel like it was forced. I mean, you can kind of tell. I went back and watched the presser. I feel like it was forced. I don't think he really wanted to talk trash, but he had to do it, and that's fine. But, yeah, I do disagree, however, with Richard a little bit in the fact that he thinks he's a complete fighter. In terms of his defense, I feel like that would be my one, I don't know, not pet peeve, but my one knock on Spence. I think he could improve his defense. That's the only thing that I could, that would be my one knock on Spence Jr. But other than that, I mean, and look, if he can expose that, if Mikey Garcia can expose that, maybe we see an upset, because this will go down as one of the bigger upsets. Not the biggest, but a big upset. Well,
and as people have said, I think Ray Boomer Mancini said it best when he said, look, Spence has got everything to lose, not a whole lot to gain. He's supposed to win this fight, and if he doesn't, it's a huge deal for Garcia, but it's a big slap in the face to him because of the fact that, you know, he was supposed to win and win going away, at least early on. So it should be interesting to see. It's going to be a fun fight. Again, it's pay-per-view brought to you by Fox. So check out your local listings and how you can order it on pay-per-view. And if you so desire, you can get
go
here
check out Joel
into
on AT&T. Saturday. Where are you going to be on Saturday?
Saturday Golf Galaxy from noon to 2, I-45. In spring. But for us, it's Nick and Joel bowing out so that AJ, Fred, and the gang can come on in. It's 4-7. It's the Blitz. It's next. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.